this is like a very long pause or whatever, but I'm kind of nervous because it's been a minute since I've recorded last year. Hello everyone, and welcome to one last episode where we talk about all things Asian dramas, not real drama, just TV show dramas. My name is Myra, and today's episode we'll be talking about a drama called, that was my drum roll, The Red Sleeve Cup. And this is season two. I'm ecstatic to be here right now. But before we do continue, please don't forget to subscribe and continue listening to us on all podcasts or radio platforms that you can listen to, and support us by giving us the best rating ever with some positive feedback and comments. Lots and lots of comments, that way we can get noticed. Also, please follow us on social media and send us some other drama comments or messages or anything relating to K-dramas, Chinese dramas, J-dramas, any kind of dramas that you may have for us so we can continue with the show. Okay, I just want to give you guys an FYI, I'm going to try to record this without having any interruptions, without having any noise interruptions, basically, because I'm at home with my siblings, and they can be very loud, and they're not very respectful when it comes to sounds, being quiet, and shutting the fuck up, so I'm going to try to do my best with editing with this episode, but yes. Also, there may be some crying with my dog. I think I mentioned it before, but our family dog, he's not doing very well health-wise, so I'm hoping that he, I really can't say much, because he's 14 years old in 2022. Like, he turns 14 in June, so he's an old man. He's surpassed the age of a big dog, like age range, I guess, when they pass. He's 14, he's a mix, and so what I've learned in previous classes when I took veterinary classes was that bigger dogs that are mutts have a tendency of passing a lot sooner, so they don't reach the 10-year mark. He's a mutt of three, like he has three dog breeds in him, and he's 14. So yeah, so I want to apologize if you guys hear it. I know that it sounds bad to say that he's crying and so blah, 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 but we kind of have things figured out, and we'll see how that goes. With that said, how is everyone doing today? I hope everyone is doing well while they're listening to this episode tonight, today, this afternoon, this evening, whatever time of the 24 hours existing days and nights it may be for you. Apart from what I just shared, everything's been going well. 2020, the start of 2020 was definitely a very interesting start, because I will say a lot of people around me, and I mean a lot, I think I mentioned in the previous episode, but everyone that I know of got sick. And Lord and behold, it was the one and only damn virus that's going and taking over the world. So it was wonderful, to say the least. So the first bit of January has been about like staying home and just being very cautious. But I haven't really done much. Like, I did celebrate my friend's birthday, but I was like the only one wearing a mask, and that's a little disappointing to see, but I wasn't gonna take the risk. I wasn't even driving with them in the same car, so that kind of made me feel a lot better. But we were surrounded by a lot of people, and that really, like, gave me a lot of anxiety, I'm not gonna lie. So I literally got home and, like, showered and Lysol'd the shit out of my shoes and just kind of made sure that I was disinfected galore. Another thing that I did was I got to meet up with friends who, just us three, we were at one of their house, and we just kind of finished, finally, The King's Affection, which I will be talking about in the next episode. It was a wonderful ending. Unfortunately, not with the one that I'll be talking about, but it is a wonderful ending nonetheless. I'm genuinely so stoked to be talking about that one, but also about this one. But it was a good day because it was a Sunday, so it was like all of us, it was our errands, chores, responsibility type of day. But we literally spent like 6 hours just trying to catch up on the dramas, catching up on other things, and then finishing up episode 18 because two of us needed to finish it, including myself, and then obviously 19 and 20. So it was wonderful, to say the least. Yeah, so now we're kind of doing this thing very, it sort of just happened. We're gonna try to watch dramas together and like maybe try to watch the last two or like the last episode and just kind of like, you know, kind of group it, kind of like a book club, but it's K-drama club. Get it? So that's the plan. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily official, but it's the idea that we want to partake. Will it happen? We'll see. We're making a lot of plans, so. But apart from that, I've started school. It's been a flow. I don't want to say it's been good, but I don't want to say it's bad. But it's been a flow. Like, I've just managing things with my schedule, trying to make things a lot more organized. So yeah, it's definitely been a rough start, I'd say, but a start where I'm like, okay, the shit in my personal life is over. Well, okay, sort of. But okay, now what am I gonna do? So there's a lot of plans in the works for 2022. But for now it's like we're talking about it, yet will it happen? So but anyways, what have you guys been up to since the new year started? I feel like I don't think there's been any new dramas. It's dramas that are ending from November to December, and the new drama starting, but in February. So I'm just like, what the fuck? Though there is another one called, what is it called? Something about zombies. Like, there are students in school. It's a K-drama available on Netflix. All of us are dead or all of us are alive or something. It looks good. I'm a little apprehensive because it is a high school drama basically, and I'm trying to steer away from that. But okay, remember how I was saying that I've been watching anime again? Okay, I'm trying to get away from K-dramas that are like high school romances, yet here I am watching freaking anime that are about romances in high school. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know. But it looks good. It looks really good. And now there's a lot of hype to it. I don't want to get so into it because it's going to be like the Squid Game all over. And I'll be very freaking honest. I haven't finished it and I may not finish it. Point blank. I think I've already said before and I'm probably going to have to say it until it's done with on my mind. I'm not going to finish it. I have massive anxiety. Well, during the time that it started airing in that couple months, my anxiety was through the roof. I know I should have seen a mental health doctor, but I can't afford it. I'm going to see my doctor real soon here, so we'll see. But apart from that, it is anxiety induced. And I do not want to take that step and freaking not sleep for hours. Just saying. So I ended up with them playing the marbles game, and obviously that's a bit of a spoiler, but you know, very important characters to me at least sadly will go. So we'll leave it at that because I do not want to finish it. I know it's really good. The cinematography is brilliant, the acting is brilliant, the story is brilliant, but I don't want to freak out. I don't. My brother's finished it, so. But yeah, that's kind of a little tea that I got for you guys. My voice is very soft because I don't want to be too loud because there's people in the house. And you can hear my dog's little, like, paws walking by. But yeah, so with that said, I think it's time to get started with today's drama, The Red Sleeve Cuff. It's going to be spoilers in this episode because, well, which episode doesn't have spoilers? But because this one is definitely a bittersweet, well, more bitter than sweet of an ending. So let's get on the freaking wagon and start strolling around English. Whoa. And let's see where that takes us. I'm ready. Not really. Okay, everyone, sorry about that bit of a instant pause. Well, I wasn't an instant pause, but I literally had to take like a couple hours of a break because my family members came over. My little cousin was in my room, so basically is that I couldn't get to finish the second bit of the episode, but nobody's home anymore. Everybody's pretty much asleep or going to sleep, and then the rest has gone home, so the house is by itself. It's quiet. It's not by itself. It's quiet. I mean, I'm here. Duh. So I figured I can maybe record while everybody's, you know, asleep. I'm not very loud unless when I get very, very into the story. But nevertheless, let's get on with it. So I was gonna basically start off by saying that a lot of things that I have, like, I want to say about the drama, but I really shouldn't until after I've introduced it, because I think it's better off introducing it, right? Obviously, that's how my episodes go. So, The Red Sleeve Cuff. If you guys haven't heard it, like I said it before, it is a drama that you are missing out on. It is a drama that, basically, I think it won, like, Best Drama of the Year in, like, their version of Golden Globes, I think. But I do know that the main characters, they won Best Couple or Best Female Lead and then Male Lead. But I'm not 100% sure on that. I just know that they won the awards for just portraying such brilliant characters. With that said, The Red Sleeve Cuff. I know that I always like to repeat myself with the titles, but that's only because I want y'all to be like, okay, what did she say it was? Okay, but like, I'm gonna watch it, right? Just kidding. Okay. So, let me see if... Otsome... Pulgon Kudong. I think I said that in Korean correctly. Otsume Pulgon Kudong. Kudong. I think that's right. That's probably wrong. So basically it's The Red Sleeve or The Red Sleeve Cuff. And it is a 17 episode drama. And it is a network based in NBC, and it's only available on Viki. Again, if you watch dramas on a different site, just please be careful with your computer. The synopsis. So, oh, I forgot. It is a drama that it is based on a novel that was written back in 2017 by a writer, novel series. And it is by Kang Mi Kang. And again, the title is literally as it is on the drama. So, Otome Pulgon Kudong. I hope that's right. I probably pronouncing it wrong. But yeah, it is a drama. So basically like a melodrama. There's some humor here and there, but it's not a lot. It does have some thriller moments because there are instances where I feel like a lot of historical Korean dramas, they have a bit of like some type of political issues, and that's the case with this one. So I'll go into depth when I add a lot about my perspective, but for now let's give you guys a synopsis so you kind of understand what the drama is about. So, set in the 18th century, Red Sleeve depicts a love story between King Jeongjo and royal concubine Wi Bin Song. Song Dukim is a court lady. She gets involved with Crown Prince Yi San, and he falls in love with her. The Crown Prince eventually becomes King Jeongjo. He now desires Song Dukim to become his concubine, but she refuses. Song Dukim wants to live her life freely, something that will not be possible as a concubine. She also knows that life of a royal concubine does not generally bring about happiness, yet Song Dukim becomes the concubine of King Jeongjo. It basically, the way that I'm reading the synopsis is really depicts the drama very well. Like in most cases when I read you guys the synopsis, it doesn't really depict the drama well. So this one actually does. So Last four, the characters. So our main male lead, if you don't already know him, y'all are missing out, because I feel like I'm gonna do an episode of just like idols or idols turned actors, or doing both, that deserve a lot of love. Like, there's so many idols that have turned into acting that are super talented and they don't get a lot of recognition, and I feel like this person is one of them. Lee Juno, or Lee Juno, he is from a second generation idol band called 2PM. And he plays the character King Dongdo, or as we know him, is Lee San. Some of his familiar dramas that I've personally seen would be Walk of Love, Rain or Shine. And other ones that I've heard him in would be Good Manager, and then Confession. So, genuinely speaking, he is absolutely talented. He is beautiful, not gonna lie. Got a nice butt, just saying. But he is really talented when it comes to acting, and I think he deserves more love with his acting. So their female lead is played by Lee Se-young, or Lee Se-young. She is someone that I actually I started watching a drama called A Korean Odyssey. That was in 2017, 2018. And she was a zombie, sort of. And I fell in love with this character, and I fell in love with the actress. So I kind of looked into some of her dramas. I haven't seen a lot, but I've seen her in a few. And some of them that she is more, or I guess she's a child actress. But dramas that I've heard of or have seen her in would be, of course, Korean Odyssey, Hit the Top, Memorist, The Crowned Clown, and Dr. John. Just a few that she has been in. The rest of the cast members that I have for you would be a character that I absolutely hated with a passion, and the actor played a really good character. He portrayed the character very well. The actor name is Kang Hoon, and the character that he plays is Hong Dokro. He's also, what is he? He's like the, not a tutor, but I can't remember the name of it, but he's kind of like, I would say this current generation, like a butler maybe, or like the assistant, secretary, personal assistant, there we go, of the king. He's the actor Kang Hoon, he's pretty a rookie. He's definitely a rookie. He doesn't have a lot under his list, but some of the dramas that he's been in is You Are My Spring, Rookie Historian Gu Haeryong, When the Devil Calls Your Name, and Welcome. So these are some of the dramas that I'm somewhat familiar with. And then we have the secondary characters that don't really get a lot of, or I mean, there's just a lot of characters that are involved in this drama. But I feel like the ones that need to be heard of would be the his aunt, who is his grandfather's daughter, obviously, Princess Hwawan, and is played by So Hyorim, and I fucking hated her with a passion. She is a two-faced mother trucker, and I feel like she deserves what she deserves within the story. That's all I have to say. the actress, again, is played by So Hyorim. Some of the dramas that she's been in would be What's Wrong with Secretary Kim. Let's see here. The Master's Son, which some of the dramas that I've seen. It's My Life, Man Who Sets the Table, and Endless Love. And then we have the court ladies. I'm just gonna say their names. I'm not gonna list their their previous dramas, but I feel like they deserve to be called up because they were the great supporters of our female lead. So we have the court lady Seol, which is Jang Hyojin, which is kind of like the woman that kind of took over of Song Do Kim, which would be like her mother, I guess, mother figure. And actually, she's a very well-known actress. She's like a chameleon to me because she's hilarious. She's very, very well-known. Internationally, she's known for playing the mom in the movie Parasite. So just giving you an idea about that. And then we have her best friends, the main lead's best friends. We have Kim Bok-yeon, which is played by Lee Min-ji. And then we have Baek Kyung-hee, who is played by Ha Yul-ri. And then we have Song Yong-hee, played by Lee Eun-sen. So I'd say they're very important roles. And then we have, of course, his grandfather, who I fucking hate. His name is Lee Tong-hwa, and he plays Kim Yong-do. And I think the most important one was definitely the queen, which is his grandmother, the male lead. Tang Hee-jin is the actress' name, and she plays Queen Jong-sun. I feel like the queen definitely has a big part. Apart from his grandfather, the queen has a big part in the fact that she may seem like she's evil. Well, I see it that way, but she's actually a protector. So that's the list of the characters. I have a lot to say, so I think it's time to start my opinion. Oh, my land. Okay, so I think I'm going to definitely have to do a lot of spoilers on this one because this drama, I never thought that I would love a drama with such a sad ending. For the most part, I try to steer away from sad endings because for me, like, and I've seen this on TikTok, but like psychologists even say like watching K-dramas is like a good way for therapy. And I've realized that in the last 6 years almost, it's been therapy for me. But one of the things that I, sorry, my voice is very shaky right now. I try to do is I watch dramas that have more of a happier endings just because it gives me this bit of hope, you know? Watching sad endings, I don't want to watch sad endings when I'm already kind of dealing with my quote-unquote sad life, you know? And so when I watched this one, I was kind of with the intention of, oh, it's going to be a happy ending, right? Now, this is to put it out there. If you want to anticipate a happy ending, don't, and I repeat, do not watch episode 17. Do not, and I'm going to repeat this one more time, do not watch episode 17, because episode 17 was an added bonus because people were in love with this drama. But episode 17 is by far the worst. And hear me out, there's nothing wrong with the ending. It's the fact that it's the true ending of this love story. Now, this drama is a depiction of a real story of the real King Jong-jo and his love for his concubine, Hui-bin, I think, Hui-bin. And what happens in episode 17 is truly what happened in his real story. I kid you guys not. Like, this is a depiction of a historical, like, a real story of a king. I've noticed that this particular king, he's had, like, renditions of dramas of this king. And I was looking into it. I mean, Wikipedia is really an awful place to look at stuff. But it gave me an understanding. This king that we see in the drama, which is played by Lee Jun-ho, we're going to call him his birth name, Isan. That's easier for me to pronounce. So his name, Isan, he, again, was a real king, respected, because he cared for his people. But another thing is that he kind of was stuck with the fact that his father was killed wrongfully. I really hope I'm historically saying this correctly because it's been a minute since I read the information. But, and so he kind of felt that he needed to, I can't remember the term, but he wanted to give justice for his father, even though he was already dead. Sorry if that's a triggering term, but he'd passed. And so eventually he kind of tries to give justice for him. And I guess what it was is that reading from the historical information on Wikipedia, which again, very awful place to look at, the drama kind of gave us, and I believe it's not all correctly real, but it's based on true events. But the prince turned into King Yi-san. He kind of battles this sort of injustice for his father through the years that he's the king. So it's almost like he's still stuck in that moment. And that's like the only thing that really affected him as a king, if I can remember correctly. Another thing was the love story. In reality, historically speaking, he does fall in love with the concubine. Now, I'm not sure if y'all are fresh meat for Korean dramas, but if you are, or if you're not, of course, you know what I mean but if you're new to this sort of K-drama stuff, if you don't know what concubine is or how it worked, is that I guess obviously, like, they had their queens or princesses, but they needed concubines to be able to, you know, bear a king. Like, that's the purpose, that's how it should always be. And so for him, he had his queen. Sorry, my voice sounds very shaky. I don't know why. My throat is kind of hurting. But he has his queen, but he still was in love with his concubine, Yui Bin. And that's a love story. And so I won't give you guys, I should probably just say it now, right? And then torture you guys with the historical information that I was able to find before I tell you everything that I think about. So again, if you want a happy ending, just finish episode 16 and you're done. You don't need to see more. But if you want to actually see the true story, be warned, 17 is not the best. I still loved it. It's my number 2 on my top 10, but it sucks because this is really what happened. I read it in the in the information on Wikipedia. Again, not a great place to find, but so Sang Deok-im does eventually fall for him. I think she's always loved him. She always did care for him. But some of the things that she would say in the drama, I'm not sure if the real Sang Deok-im would say, but she would say, "I want him for myself. I don't want to share. You know, I don't want to have other concubines as well as the queen need him. You know, like, I want him for me." And that's not fair. But eventually she kind of falls into this love. Like, she falls in love. Like, she just can't take it. And so she decides to be his concubine. I think in the drama, she's in her late 20s when she kind of gets to finally, like, you know, falls for him. She's only with him for maybe 5 years, I think, or 4, and then she dies of cancer. I can't remember what it was exactly. I think it was liver cancer from what I saw, but she is able to give an heir, but he dies from polio, I think it was on the drama or the Wikipedia. He was only 4 years old. She tried having another baby, but I think it was stillborn. So unfortunately, she wasn't able to have any kids with him. And then she was pregnant. She was pretty far along, I think, when she passed. And oh my gosh, you guys, I knew that was gonna happen. Because I started looking into it more. Because I heard that it was a true story. And then I started to realize, oh fuck, that's what episode 17 is. And it was. We see what's going on. Like, we see her, like, you know, basically with him. What was really sad, though, in episode 16 was how she describes, well, in the last few episodes, she describes how being a concubine, you lose your life, theoretically speaking. So there was a point in the drama, I can't remember what episode it was, but it's a scene where she's talking with the queen, with his grandmother, Siyan's grandmother, and Yisan, oh my god, I messed up his name. Song Tokim is talking with the queen, with his grandmother, and she says, I can't remember the words exactly, but basically being a queen or being a concubine means you are basically in a fancy version of jail. You cannot step foot out of the temple, out of the grounds of the king's palace. You cannot step outside of the palace. You are literally, like, you are, like, what's the word? What did she say? My gosh, I can't think of the term, but, like, you're just, you can't leave. You are stuck here for the rest of your life. You don't get to experience what life is. For the most part, you're stuck in your own part of the palace. You can't really go into the king's palace without permission. You don't experience life. You can't get out. You are in a fancy jail. Like, that's what it's going to be for the rest of your life. And Song Tae-kim always knew that was going to happen, because she knew that being a concubine was going to cost her freedom. You know, she knew that being a court lady was good, but she wanted to do more. She wanted to see the world in her version of life, see the world in her version of seeing the world. She wanted to be with her friends. That was her family. You know, her brother, unfortunately, he became a soldier. She reconnected, but it wasn't the same, you know. Now, obviously, in the drama, we see that she only has one brother, but in reality, she had multiple siblings. With, I think her dad had multiple kids with multiple women, but that's not the point. The point is that reality versus the drama, Song Tae-kim knew that she was going to lose her freedom, and that broke my heart. Because when I knew that moment that Yisan proposed to her in being his concubine, it was in the early stages of them, but he fell in love with her immediately. I knew that when she said no, I knew that if I was ever in the same shoes as her, I would do the same exact thing. Because the more I got to read about the historical lives, especially kings and concubines, like, you learn that it's like living in hell. Like, you don't actually have freedom, you know. It's like women were literally just prized possessions, you know, and it was just them having babies, like, for the king, you know. Like, you dress up in fancy clothes, dress up in all this stuff, you have the finds of things of the world, but do you actually get to explore it? And that's what it was for her. You know, she couldn't be with her friends anymore. She couldn't live the life and fall in love with just one man, and him fall in love with her with just her, you know? And all those things became to, like unravel in my head. And the more I was able to relate to this character, in that sense of, if I was in her shoes, or if I was in this historical life and given that position of being a concubine, I would have said, hell to the fuck no. Because I'll be very frank with y'all, I didn't really knew what kind of concubine was until somewhat recently after watching the dramas, but I've learned who they are and what they are, because literally is what they are. I realized I would fucking hate it. I really would, because I'm very possessive, I would say, in the sense that if I had to share a man with multiple women, y'all, I'm out. So for her to make that decision for a few years, declining his offer, even though she knew that she was absolutely madly in love with him, or at least she was infatuated with him. Eventually, she never said it, but she was in love with him. She was very infatuated with him, but she knew that it was going to cost her life. metaphorically speaking, eventually it became literally. But it was never his fault. You know, it was never his fault. And so during the time that she was a concubine, she was sad, and you can tell. And I think transitioning to the historical information that I'm giving you guys to now, talking about the actress and the actor and just everything else, I think that Lee Se-young, Lee Se-young, or, you know, the character is Hong Dae-kim, the actress, she portrayed the character so damn well. I've seen some of her stuff, and she definitely knows, she knows how to be an actress, for sure. She knows how to create these roles. She portrayed the character with so much love, and, like, she brought this character to life, you know, and I like that this character was very strong-willed, she was driven, she was ambitious, she knew what she wanted, even though what she actually wanted could never happen, and so she was okay with settling with what she could have, and she was happy and content with what she could have. And I really respected that person, like, the character so much. And the actress just, she did such a brilliant job. And I'm so happy that she won the Best Actress. I think it was Best Actress, one of the two. Best Actress or Best Couple. But she did such a brilliant job. Okay, but there's like, a little clip going viral about her where they were doing their acceptance speech. And she had her phone with all, like, the names on there. Listed, like, the cast members and the crew. Because she couldn't say them all while she was doing her speech. While Lee Joon-ho was saying his speech, she's holding her the phone and she's kind of looking at him. He mentions her name. She gets this sort of realization. Her head goes up and down like a nod. She's like, oh, what the? And it kind of like being like, oh, that's right, I forgot him. Like, she's just says, oh, what the? Like, I forgot. And then as soon as he's done with his speech, she goes up to the mic and she's like, I want to say thank you so much for King Lee Joon-ho, King Oppa Joon-ho, something, something, something. And it was probably the most precious thing ever, and it went viral. And I hope that this became a recognition for both of them. But she just did such a brilliant job in creating this character, bringing this character to life, that it felt so real to me. So I, oh my God, like, I mean, it's been, talked so much already, and I haven't really given so much. I gave information. As for Lee Joon-ho, first of all, he's my bias for 2PM, so y'all girl is gonna say holla at him, get his, just kidding. He's brilliant. I saw him for the first time in Rain and Shower. I don't know. Which is a modern tale of also based on a true story drama, sort of. And oh my God, he's so talented, and he doesn't get enough recognition. I just want to point it out, there's not a lot of idols turned actors / actresses that are good at acting. I'm gonna be very frank and honest, there's very few idol actors and actresses that have a talent that can be as a entertainer for music and dancing, and then transitioning to TV / movie actor or actress. And I want to say Lee Joon-ho is one of those actor idols. He did such a brilliant job. And there is a scene where spoiler alert, it's episode 17, she dies. Was it in that one? Or was it with the son? It was with the son. I think it was with the son. His son dies. I want to say it was with the son, yeah. And the way that he cries. Now, crying scenes are really hard, I feel like, because you're throwing so much emotion. And again, not a lot of actors can pull off a crying scene so well that would make you cry with them, right? And so, I think it was with his son. Oh my God, it was either with the son or with Hong Dae-kim as a concubine. The way that he grabs them, pulls them to him. No, it was with the son, I remember now. Because the way that he grabs the son's hand, and like it was so realistically felt. Like, I thought it was his son for real. And I was thinking, I was like, because he has a nephew. I saw him in a show called Home Alone. And it's basically idols or actors or basically entertainers in Korean industry that live alone. And we get to follow their lives and kind of experience being alone for the first time or living alone for a long time, et cetera, et cetera. And he has a nephew. And he's around the same age as that actor that he was playing his son in the drama. And so I feel like he used that emotion, pretending it was his nephew, and kind of just cried. And the crying, it was quiet. So there's different cries, I feel like, that really reel you in with emotion. And I'm gonna be honest, I cry for any freaking scene that's emotional, point blank. So if you don't cry, good for you, son, because I'm an emotional wreck. But he cries and it's quiet, but you see the tears and they just come out and he's just crying and crying. And I'm like, oh my fuck, I'm a cry with you. And it's gonna be like those hiccup cries. It was so brilliantly performed. I was just shocked. Honestly speaking, like, he deserved that award that he got. So please, 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 like, y'all have to watch his performances. He's a really, really great dancer with a nice butt, but also a really, really great actor. And he deserves more recognition than what he has. And hopefully with Red Sleeve, like, he gets that recognition greater than before. So, wow, I have a lot of that to say. They are very, I think one of the things, kind of going back to the character Isan, you do know the character, I feel like he had to fill some really big shoes. And I think the grandfather just wanted to have this perfect grandson, and it just pissed me off. Like, the grandfather needs to go to hell. Like, he just, fuck him. Sorry. He is awful. He's just, no. I just hated him so much. And it sucks to say that it was a real thing happening. So I just, no. Anyways, going back to reality, the chemistry between the main female lead and the male lead was brilliant. I saw a lot of behind, not a lot, but a sufficient amount of behind the scene clips. And it was so cute. And I'll be very honest, even though he's my absolute 2PM bias, I would love to see them date. They are so precious. They both love cats. They both are quirky. They both are talented. What else? Just kidding. I sound like I know them. But they had such great chemistry, and I really hope that they may have future projects. I don't know. Like, they work so well together. I don't think I can see another actor or actress portraying these characters like they would have. So, let's see, I already basically summed up that part here. And of course, just another quick reminder to you all, it is not a happy ending. So I'm putting it out there. If you want to really see the story unravel in the true, real story, watch episode 17. But again, you'll be warned, it's not a happy ending. It really isn't. And I like that they use episode 17 in a way where we kind of got into the king, or I guess Yi-san, who was the king by then, and how he felt throughout the whole process. Like, he forgot about her for 20 years or 20 plus years. He grew up, but then the last few years of before he died, he started to remember her. And granted, this may not have been, like, historically correct, but I do remember seeing that there was a letter where he wrote that he will forever love his concubine. She was the only woman that he loved, and that I believe that's all that he said. He doesn't say much, but that's one thing. And they, you kind of use those words in the drama in such a perfectly presented way where we visually saw it. Words were described, but we visually saw it. The way that he kind of regrets pushing her to be the person that she became. He would always like, he's always like, if I wouldn't have pushed you in the way that you, to be a concubine, would you have passed early? Would you have ended up being unhappy? So all of this kind of started unraveling, and I'm just like, holy mother fudger, I'ma die. And yeah, I have a lot, like I have a lot with it, but nevertheless, this drama, I give it a 10 out of 10. I really do. Given that the ending was horrible in the sense that, you know, it's not a happy ending, I give it a 10 out of 10 because I knew that just a few episodes before it ended, I knew that it was going to end very bitterly. It's not a bittersweet. It's literally bitter. Because I started looking into the history of this king, because I started hearing that this is a real story, and I knew that in doing so, I was going to end up with tears in my eyes, bawling and disappointed. But sometimes true love story is not going to end up in a happy ending. True love story sometimes ends up in a sad ending, and eventually, if reincarnation, if they were able to reincarnate, maybe they will be together. Even though she says that she does not want to ever see him if that were the case. Because she knows that it might just history repeat itself. It like hit me, I'm not gonna lie, in the way that love is not gonna be always a happy ending. And it's sad to say. And thankfully, we don't live in this historical life where, you know, concubine and romances and courts make court ladies and court maids are we have to live through that. But it's sad to say that sometimes there's always going to be the trials and tribulations, or let me rephrase that, there's going to be problems in relationships, and you got to learn to fight it or it's going to be too late. So, yeah. 10 out of 10, everyone. 10 out of 10. I don't have much to say. This drama really, really killed me in the sense that I am now kind of more for romantic endings. Because, for one, it felt too real, even though it was real. It felt real in within me that I just didn't want to continue it, seeing it in my head. So yeah, that's all I have to say. I don't know what to say anymore, honestly, other than the fact that you just watch it, just watch it up to episode 16, support it, love it, endure that pain that you may go through if you kind of deal the same thing as I do, in the sense that she wants to be an independent woman, but love takes over and she doesn't want to leave him. So there you go. There you have it. Damn. That's a lot to say, I'm not going to lie. Wow. Anyways, thank you so much, guys. Thank you for listening. Well, I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. This was definitely a bit of a long one. I had a lot to say, but I really hope that you all enjoyed it. Again, if you want the happy ending, watch to episode 16. If you want the true ending, watch episode 17. Get a box of tissues, maybe some chocolates if you like chocolates, or something that will make your tears not go to waste. But yeah, thank you so much again for tuning in for today's episode. If you want more of these, please check out the other episodes, previous ones, check out season one, I should say, if you haven't already. And please keep looking forward for the next coming up episodes. I'm trying to post more if possible. If not, for now, be patient with me. I'm trying to find a way to be able to record these where I'm not bothered. So again, thank you so much. If you guys want more of these, please subscribe, please rate us, so that way we can get more viewers, more noticed people to listen to, and follow us along on social media, and give me your feedback, what you think about this drama, if you've seen it, and if you have seen the clips. And yeah, thank you so much again, and I hope to be talking to you all real soon. Bye!